just celebrate God tonight?
Can we just celebrate God? Before we celebrate anything else, before we celebrate His blessings, before we celebrate what God is going to do, can we just celebrate God tonight? Hallelujah. Turn to a few people before you sit down. You can give them a fist bump or a thing or a wave or something. Just tell them, I'm expecting more this year. I know God has got more in store. Amen, amen. And you can be seated. Let's give a big, big hand for our worship team tonight and our AV team tonight. What a blessing. What a blessing. And we are happy that you are here because God is doing something in His community. And God is releasing something so powerful tonight. I see some faces. I see some faces. I think I see some faces. It's kind of dark in here. But I know God is doing something. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. You know exactly where we are. You know the moment that we're at in our lives, the journey that we're on in our lives. And God, we pray that you speak clearly to us something that's actionable, something that's doable, something that we can grab a hold with, like Habakkuk 2:2 says, and run with. God, and I thank you, Lord, that we would run that race, God, run that race with perseverance. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Look at somebody else and say, I'm ready.
Before
we start this new year, we don't want to just stumble into the new year. We need to have a vision for it. Amen. And not just any vision, not the world's vision. We've seen what that is. That's no good. We don't want just good ideas. We want a vision from God. We want to know what God is declaring in the heavens over our lives. We want to know what God is declaring over our community. What is God saying? Because if I can tap into that and I can get in agreement with that, I know something powerful and profound is going to happen in my year. How many believe that? And if you get into agreement with what God is saying about your future and your year, something powerful is going to happen. Amen. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. New King James Version says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. And the New Living Translation says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. I've seen enough of running wild. 2020 was, there's a lot of running wild in 2020. But I want to know, what is God's divine guidance? What is the revelation? What is it that if I set my sails on that I know I'm going to be victorious? What is it that God is saying? As Pastor Corinne and I were really just praying and saying, what is God saying over our church? What is God saying over our community? What is it? Because we don't want to just launch out into 2021 without a word. And the word God dropped into our spirit was undefeated. Undefeated. That God is an undefeated God. That His people are supposed to be an undefeated people. His plans are undefeated. His principles are undefeated. His love, it never fails. It's undefeated. So we started getting excited about this. God started just really dropping this in our spirit. It just became so powerful and profound to us. But first, before we talk about what God wants to do with us, we have to lay a foundation of the fact that our God is undefeated. Before I can realize that I can be undefeated, first I have to realize I serve a God that is, He's never been defeated. He is undefeated. When I get the right perspective of who He is, I start to understand who I am. That's the problem. Sometimes we forget who He is, or we forget some important aspect of who He is, and then we lose sight of our own identity. See, I can't see myself as undefeated until I first see Him as undefeated. I have to settle that in my mind. So when I understand that, then I can start to understand that I'm more than a conqueror. Isn't that what the Bible says, that I'm more than a conqueror? See, we need to take that type of attitude. We need to take that mentality. We need to take that frame of thought into 2021. Because there's some time, there's some people, there's portions of the body of Christ that had a defeated mindset in 2020. But we have to let this get on us. We're more than conquerors. Romans 8:37. I want you to think about this in the context of coming out of 2020 and coming into 2021. It says, yet in all these things. Somebody say that. Yet in all these things. It's talking about all these negative things that happen. Paul says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. New Living Translation says, despite. Someone say, despite all these things. And it says it like this, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. There's no reason why we should accept defeat. God has called us to be more than conquerors. Our destiny is not just to win, but to win in a big way. Not just be victorious, but be victorious in a big way. If your view of God is that you don't win, maybe you have the wrong perspective on God. Our God is undefeated. Maybe the problem is you've been listening to the wrong sermons. You've been listening to the wrong things on YouTube. You've been listening to the wrong things on social media. And you need to look back at what the text says about God. The Bible says he's undefeated. If we look back historically, look in the history books, God has never been defeated. Amen. Look at somebody and say, he's never been defeated. See, if you're listening to the wrong thing, if you're listening to the wrong voices, you're not going to realize that God always wins. He always succeeds. His plans always succeed. His principles always apply. Our God is undefeated. So you have to be careful what you're listening to, because if you're listening to the wrong thing, you'll get a defeated mindset. I saw so many people, Pastor Pete, in 2020 that got a defeated mindset on them. And they were no longer winning. See, the Bible says, even though it said, despite all these things, we're more than conquerors. That means in the middle of the plagues, you can be winning. Isn't that what happened with God's people in the middle of Egypt? In the middle of the plagues, God's people were winning. God means for you to have an undefeated mindset. Look at somebody and say, it's time to take on a new mindset. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, 2. He said, don't have the mindset that the world has. Don't conform to that any longer. Yet, what you need to do is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to get an undefeated mindset. The mind of Christ is undefeated. Christ was never defeated. He went through stuff. He went through people trying to kill him. He went through people actually killing him. But he was undefeated in the end. Why? He had an undefeated spirit, undefeated mindset. It's time to take God at his word and realize he is undefeated. Even when it looked like he was defeated. There was a moment there, it looked pretty bad. Jesus was hanging on the cross, but it wasn't over. They put him in the grave, but it wasn't over. There were some people crying, but it wasn't over. There were some disciples that were scattered all around. One was running naked, but it wasn't over. People had got lost hope, but it wasn't over, because God is undefeated. The enemy actually thought he had defeated Jesus. But 3 days later, how many know something different happened? Something different happened. You know the story. 3 days later, the devil was reminded that every time he comes toe-to-toe with God, he loses. He loses. Every time he loses, God cannot be defeated. This is what 1 Corinthians 2:8 says. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. If the devil knew what he was messing with, he would have never put Jesus on the cross. If he knew the can of worms he was about to open by getting in the ring with Jesus, he would have never gotten in the ring with Jesus, because he would have realized Jesus is undefeated. God is undefeated. We serve an undefeated God. Jesus rose again on the third day to remind the devil that God is still undefeated. Our Savior is undefeated. The one we follow is undefeated. The Holy Spirit at work inside of you and me is undefeated. We have to remind ourselves, it doesn't matter what the circumstance looks like. It doesn't matter how bad it looks on the outside. It looked terrible for Jesus as he hung there. He was in the natural, he was messed up. But it doesn't matter what it looks like. Look at somebody and say, it doesn't matter what it looks like. there were 3 days that it looked the opposite of what the reality was. And I want to tell you, sometimes you go through a season in your life that it looks the opposite of what God is actually doing in your life. In the natural, it looked like Jesus was defeated. In the natural, it looked like Jesus was dead. In the natural, it looked like things were hopeless. In the natural, it looked like the whole Jesus movement was over. But God was doing something that people could not see in the natural. I want to tell you, in your life, God is doing something that people cannot see in the natural. That sometimes you can't even see it if you're looking in the natural. Jesus already set an example that it doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters what God is doing in us and through us and upon the earth. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It matters what God is doing. Because we don't serve a weak God. We don't serve a powerless God. We serve a God that's able, that's a healer, that's a blesser, that's a redeemer, that's a rewarder of those that are seeking him out. So our God, our Savior, his promises, they don't miss. He hung the stars in the sky and caused the universe to come into order. He's a creator. He's a way maker. He's going to create a way where there seems like it's impossible. It seems like hope is lost. It seems like you're backed into a corner. He's going to create a way. Because he's not weak. He's not powerless to do that. When God's people were in trouble, he sent Moses. He sent Joshua, Gideon, Samson, Esther, David, a host of people to be the solution to a problem. God is not running low on resources. Look at somebody and say that. God's not running low on resources. He has all kinds of ways that he can save the day. He has exactly what you need to succeed. God has the answer to every problem. He has the solution to every challenge. We don't serve a weak God. Egypt, the most powerful empire of the day, came against God's people, enslaved them. What did he do? He poured out 10 plagues and completely reversed their circumstances. He changed the color of the Nile. He changed the color of the sky. He made the animals do stuff. The weather was different. All so that he could set his people free. They went from prisoners to prosperous. Because we don't serve a weak God. And it doesn't matter what it looks like. Another time there was a wicked queen. She started killing off God's prophets and leading the people astray. And God sent Elijah and God sent fire, literal fire from heaven. Because he's not a weak God. He does big things. He does powerful things. The prophet Zephaniah says it like this in Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. We have to get that in our heads. God is the undisputed champion of the world. This is higher than boxing. This is higher than the this is higher than the World Series. It's higher than every other tournament. He is the undisputed champion. We serve a God that knows how to come through. And he's still on the throne. It doesn't matter what it looks like. He's still on the throne. It doesn't matter what goes on in politics. He's still on the throne. It doesn't matter what happens in the news. He's still on the throne. It doesn't matter what happens in California. He's still on. It doesn't matter what happens in New York. He is able to reverse the circumstances. When others choose hate and to manipulate, he uses love, and his love never fails. His love has never been defeated. His methods have never been defeated. It doesn't matter how dark it gets. It doesn't matter. He won't be defeated. When we stick with him, when we stand with him, what happens is his undefeated nature gets on us. The more I get close to him, the more his undefeated nature gets on me. I become more like him. I become more undefeated. So it doesn't matter how bleak it looks. His word never fails. His promises remain true. We have to remind ourselves that no matter what it looks like on the outside, we walk by faith. We're not walking by what we see. I heard something on the news, but I don't walk by what I see. I read an article. I talked to a friend, but I don't walk by what I see. I saw something on social media. I'm aware of it, but I don't walk by what I see. I walk by faith. Stop looking with your natural eyes, because it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what the challenge is, what the problem is, what the wickedness is. What matters is what God is doing. What God is doing is infinitely more important than the problem, than the crisis, with the dilemma, with the health issue, with the financial issue. What God is doing is more important than what your enemy is doing. What God is doing is more important than what the devil is doing. The Bible said, if there's any good thing to think on these things. So I want to spend the majority of my time thinking about what God is doing, what God is saying, what God is saying over and speaking over to me. Is there a time to rebuke the devil? Absolutely, there's a time to rebuke the devil. But I want to spend the most of my time talking to God, seeing what he's saying about my year, letting his undefeated nature rub off on me, letting that spirit of more than a conqueror rub off on me. That's productivity. Some people are going till they're blue in the face, doing stuff in the natural, doing stuff the wrong way in the spirit. When our Heavenly Father's saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you strength. I will give you an undefeated nature. We need to fix our eyes. Hebrews 12:2 says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. If you want to win, fix your eyes. Ever notice that great athletes, they know how to fix their eyes on the goal. Paul makes a lot of comparisons between athletics of his day and the race that we run in the spirit. Fix your eyes. The author of Hebrews says, fix your eyes on the author and the perfecter. Let me tell you so that the more I fix my eyes on him, the more he perfects my faith. The more I focus my mind and my thoughts on God, the more he perfects my faith. The more he perfects my faith, the more I become like him, undefeated. I don't know if you get where I'm going tonight, but if you fix your eyes on him, you will become undefeated like him. It doesn't matter what it looks like, look at him. It doesn't matter what it sounds like, fix your eyes on him. Doesn't matter if there's distractions all around you, fix your eyes on him. God, what matters is God's ability to make you win. So our focus has to be on God's ability to make us undefeated. What did Jesus say? The gates of hell will not prevail against my community. Not even when you guys get together and you're unified, you're doing what I told you and taught you to do. Nobody will defeat you. Not even the biggest, baddest devils in hell can defeat you. They can't touch you. They cannot defeat you. You will win. You will be undefeated. So where does that leave me? What do I do? What's the next step? Trust in him. Trust in him. We have to decide. I'm going to put my trust in him. I'm going to put all my chips on Jesus. Sometimes it's not working out the way that we read about because we're only partially invested. We didn't put all our chips on Jesus. We saved some chips, diversified. It doesn't work in the spirit like it works in the natural. In the natural, you got to diversify. Let me get a few stocks over here, put my money in some real estate over here, do this. And the spirit doesn't work like that. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. God is a jealous God. He wants all the chips. So you give me everything you got, and I'm going to give you exactly what you need. And I'm going to clothe you with my undefeated nature. So I put my trust in him. I put my faith in him. I want to build my life off this truth that God doesn't lose. I make this the foundation of my thought process, that my God is undefeated. That this would be my mantra, this would be my motto, that I would not look back, I will not doubt, I will not fear, because my God is undefeated. David said it this way in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So God is walking with me wherever I go, even when it looks like I'm on death's door and he carries a big stick. God carries a big stick to knock my enemies out. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not gonna fear. Because God is with me and he carries a big stick and he's undefeated. And no matter what my enemy looks like, I'm going to walk out on top. Because my God is undefeated." No matter what we walk through in this life, if we're walking with an undefeated God, we can rest assured. We can rest in the fact that our God wins. He's a winner. God is undefeated. End of story. Doesn't matter what the middle of your story looks like. Doesn't matter what the beginning of you, maybe you have a wrong start, a false start, a rough start. If you're standing with God, if you've aligned yourself with God and his undefeated nature, the end of your story is you win. You win no matter what it looks like in the middle. Maybe some crazy stuff in between. Maybe there's some years that look like 2020, but the end, you win. The end, you're not defeated. It doesn't matter how your story starts, it matters how it finishes. There is no one like God in all the earth. On this planet, on the next planet, in the next solar system over, there's nobody like him. There's no power that can match him. He is undefeated. The Bible says that all power in heaven and earth is given and belongs to him. All praise, all glory, all honor. He's the ultimate undisputed champion. He's undefeated. I want us to get this into our spirits and not leave this place without this revelation. That our God is undefeated. If you can catch something tonight, if you can walk out of here tonight with something, it's that your God, my God, our God is undefeated. And so when we give, I'm giving saying, I want to activate that in my life. I want to activate what God is saying over my life. That's what we're doing with First Fruit. It's not just a routine or a ritual with us. We're saying, God is saying something. I understand that everything that God does is through seed time and harvest. Everything that God does starts with a seed. I want to start my year with a seed. So there's a harvest in my year. There's a harvest throughout my year because I'm planting a seed at the beginning of my year. Everything God does, he starts with a seed. Even salvation, he started with a seed, the incorruptible seed of Jesus Christ. Everything God does, he brings it about with seed and harvest. So today we get in this in our spirit. God is not a weak God, he's able. It doesn't matter what it looks like. We walk by faith and not by sight. How am I going to win? I'm going to fix my eyes on him. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to put all my chips on Jesus. Because Jesus never loses. Our God never loses. Before we give, I want to let Pastor Corinne come up here and make a declaration. I think it's so important. It's so very important what we catch and what we walk out of here with. And I know that I've spoken what God has given to me, and I know that some of the things that God has really, really placed in her spirit, I want her to say it from her own mouth.
The first thing is that God is doing a new thing. We cannot take into 2021 what we've carried in 2020. We have to leave the old behind, and that's a lot of things. that is fear, that is worry, anxiety, waiting on the sidelines, waiting for a better day, regrets, any of those things and beyond that we don't need to take into 2021, we need to leave them behind tonight. And where we're going, we cannot have the old way of thinking. We've been through 2020. It's been a process. Yeah. And we've completed the process. And now it's time to say, thank you, God, for what we learned. Thank you, God, for what you've imparted. And now we move on. We stand on it as a platform for the next of what God is doing. I want to read, God gave me this scripture, Proverbs 28, 1. And let me just first say that he said, I'm going to read it to you, both versions. The NASB says, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as lions. Now, the Passion Translation really spoke to me. It said, guilty criminals experience paranoia, even though no one threatens them. But the innocent lovers of God, because of righteousness, will have the boldness of a young, ferocious lion. The word that he gave me is, this is the year of the lion. I said, God, what does that even mean? So when he gave me this scripture, he said, it's time. As the church has been oppressed for a long time. The people of God have been oppressed. They have been pressed. And it's time for us to grow from it and say, we're going to stand up like young, ferocious lions and begin to take back the kingdom by force. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It's time to no longer look around us and be intimidated by what is going on, but it's time for us to move forward and move forward in force and violence, taking the kingdom by force, because he is with us. The other thing that God said to me was that we are not cowering. We're walking in the type of boldness that stuns. It will stun people, but not to bring glory to us, but to say, how can you have that bold of faith? He is restoring the glory of his church. And when I think of the church, we are his bride. And what I mentioned earlier was that we had been pressed and in almost like suppressed, but God is wanting in this year to establish that his church is glorious and beautiful and spotless. And so I want to challenge you. And the reason I say that is because just because we give a prophetic word, it's not just something to take in and be like, oh, how nice, I'm comforted, I feel great. It's to challenge us to say, this is what we're holding on to for this coming year. This is how we're going to proceed. And the last thing I heard was that he is restoring order in our families. He is restoring orders in the nation. It's a governmental year. There's something happening that God is beginning to put things into place. And so we need to hold on to that when we see things that are out of place in our families, in our jobs, wherever it might be. Know that God is establishing order in 2021.
Hey, amen. I hope you grab a hold of that and just let God use you. Would you all just stand to your feet with me? We're about to give, and the way we're going to do it, a little bit different than last year. We're going to have the box. You can come and you can give, and we're not going to do, I know we're spacing things out a little bit, so we're not going to be doing all the hugging and whatnot. Next year we'll do all that. Amen. So Pastor Sandra is going to direct you. We're going to go row by row. They're going to play some music. We're going to worship together. And then I'm going to pray for you at the end. I'm going to do one big corporate prayer when Pastor Corinne and I will bless you. So you can come and give as Pastor Sandra. Amen.
Love you.
Sing.
Zero, you move the mountains, and I believe. Jesus, I'll see you do it again. You made a way out of no way when there was no way.
I believe,
I see you do it.
I see you do it again.
I see you move, yeah.
You move the mountains, and I believe. I see you do it again.
You made a way.
See you.
this declaration.
I see you move.
I see you move.
You move the mountain.
You move the mountain.
I believe.
And I believe.
I see
you do it again. You made a way
out of no way.
When there was no way.
Oh.
And I believe.
Oh, yeah.
I see you do
I see
it
you
again.
Move.
I see you move. You move the mountain.
Still stands.
Great is your faithfulness.
Your faithfulness.
I'm still in your hands.
I'm still in your hands.
And this is my confidence.
You never fail.
Oh, your promise still.
Your promise still stands.
Yeah, this
great is your faithfulness.
Oh, your faithfulness.
Still in your hands,
this is my confidence.
You never fail me yet.
You never fail me yet.
Oh,
you never fail me yet.
Amen. We had to fight our nature because we just want to give 1,000 hugs. So we'll be there very soon.
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray and let's bless this, Pastor Corinne. Father, we thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's given. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you would bless their seed, God. Thank you, Lord, that you would activate, Father, this word in their year. God, that you would bring much fruit, Father, into their lives. God, I thank you, Lord, according to your word, 30, 60, and 100. Fold. God, let them see it overflow. Let them see it overwhelm them. As David said, it overtakes me. Your blessings overtake me. God, let your blessings overtake them in this year. And let them take on your undefeated, God, mindset. Your undefeated spirit, God. We thank you for that.
God, we just declare a harvest on the seeds that are planted today, God. We've seen your hand at work in this last year, God, those that gave for the first fruit, Lord, and saw your hand move. And God, just as we've been singing and declaring this song, we thank you, God, that you'll do it again. Lord, you'll do it again and then some. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your blessing on every home, your blessing on every hand, every life, God, in health, that they would prosper as their soul prospers, God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we love you. We bless you tonight. And we just say Happy New Year. At Hope United, we are one family
in faith.
God bless you. Have a great night.